right, you ready for the word today? All right, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the first book of the Bible, Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Now, some of y'all have electronic devices, so you don't even know what I'm talking about. It's the first on the list of books in the Bible. All right, would you do me a favor? Would you hold your Bibles or your electronic devices? You know, let's stand this morning. Let's start 2020 off honoring God with the word. Amen. Let's stand. Shake it out, because I won't be long. That's what all preachers say, but I'll be long enough. Amen. I'll get you out of here in time to get to Popeyes and get that chicken. Popeyes owes me a cut. I'm pretty sure I've gotten so much money for them. All right, let's go. Let's say our Bible affirmations together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. Thank you, Jesus. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right, Genesis 1:28, only one verse we're going to be reading. Be reading it out of the New King James Version. Hey, if you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. But for the sake of us reading together, we're all going to be reading from the New King James Version. You ready? Let's go. First word of the new year from the pulpit. Ready? Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Father, in the name of Jesus, I breathe on this congregation a supernatural fruitfulness and a supernatural multiplication. I declare, Father God, that this is going to be the year that the visions that you have placed inside of us shall begin to come to pass. I declare in the name of Jesus that promises that you have spoken to us shall begin to be fulfilled. I declare that we will be fruitful and we will multiply the kingdom of God. And I declare that it's not just for what you're doing here, but that you're going to be reaching all over the world, doing a work through the people of this church. So God, speak to us this morning. Have your way in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't you settle for less. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Look, I'm starting a brand new series. It is called Supernatural Fruit and Multiplication. Supernatural Fruit and Multiplication. And today, what I'm going to be talking to you about, my title for today is Don't Settle for Less. Don't settle for less. The very first word that God spoke to man was be fruitful and multiply. Now, I want to explain why this word is so powerful and so important and why it was the first word. God spoke and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God spoke and said, "Let there be an expanse," and there was an expanse. God spoke and said, "Let there be water," and water showed up. God spoke and said, "Let there be herbs on the ground," and plants popped up. God spoke and said, "Let there be animals that walk the ground," and we got cows so we can have steak. Come on, praise Jesus for the cows and the steak. Then God says, some of y'all want to be pescatarians, so I'm going to speak, and I'm going to let the fish come up in the sea. So you can have all kinds of fish and all kind of weird stuff. And then God spoke, and he did all of He did all of that, and I want you to notice that God never talked to the creation at that point. What he did was he just spoke, and all of creation responded. But then God said, "Let us," who is the us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, "let us make man in our image." He said, "Look, I need some people to get involved with what I'm doing. I'm not going to go around and speak, and it's going to be like I did when I created the first 5 days. But today what I'm going to do is I'm going to create someone who's like us, who has the power in them to be like us and speak, and things shall become. And I'm going to release on them something special." So God then, this is the first time we see God move from speaking, look, and creation happening and responded to speaking to by saying, "You know what? I'm going to tell you something." And the first word that God ever spoke to us was not, "I love you." First word God spoke to you was not, "You are an amazing creature." The first word God spoke to us was not, "Ooh, girl, you know you cute." Because you know, when you create a work, you know, anybody ever did art and they step back and they be like, oh, that's so good, right? No, God looked at us and he said, you're blessed, be fruitful and multiply. Subdue the earth, fill it, have dominion. In other words, be like us on the earth. It's amazing to me that many of us struggle to figure out what our purpose in life is. Your purpose is found in the first book of the Bible, is to be fruitful and multiply. Now, some of y'all are like, does that mean have lots of babies? That's a part of it, I guess. But that's not it. That's being fruitful. That's not multiplying. Okay, let me explain the difference. Fruitfulness is stuff just comes out of you. Multiplication is the stuff that came out of you is replicating over and over and over and over and over again. So let's say you have an idea for a business. You start the business, that might be fruit, but that business starts to take off and creates more and more income and jobs for other people and produces a livelihood for other folks. That's multiplication. You want somebody in your family to be saved. You're like, yay, one or two people come to the Lord. You're like, hallelujah, that's fruitfulness. We want fruitfulness. Multiplication is all of a sudden 1,500 people around the world are like, we want to be disciples, and we don't know how that happened. And God did all this supernaturally. So God spoke, and he said, I want my people to not just be fruitful and multiply based upon what they can think and what they can do. I want it to be a supernatural power that falls on them so that supernatural fruitfulness and supernatural multiplication happens. And what does that look like? You know, fruitfulness is like boop, 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 boop. Supernatural fruitfulness is like boop, 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 boop. You don't know how it happened. You just obeyed God and stuff just started coming. You didn't try for it. You didn't plan for it. I'm going to tell you, when we started this 21 days of fasting and prayer, I told God, man, it would be great if we got 500 people. That'd be so cool. Then within the first 12 hours, we were at 400 plus. I was like, maybe I didn't think big enough. Let's go for 1,000. Within a day, we hit 1,000. I was like, okay, God, what else you got? And the Lord settled over 1,500 people, three times the number that I originally thought. And I didn't think we was going, look, I wasn't like, I was like hoping we'd get to 500. See, that's supernatural fruitfulness. And there are things in your life that God wants to create supernatural fruitfulness and multiplication for you. Here is what supernatural fruitfulness looks like based on scripture. Psalm 105, verse 17 through 19 gives us a picture. Actually, that's not it. Psalm 1, 1 through 3 gives us a picture of what supernatural fruitfulness looks like. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Y'all, you don't want to hear this part about supernatural fruitfulness. We want to get to whatever I do prospers, but I got to take you to the first verse that explains it. You can't look at the world's way of doing stuff and think that's going to produce supernatural fruitfulness for you. Some of y'all got to stop Googling how to do stuff, and you need to get on your knees and start Googling into Jesus and say, how do I get this done, Father God? Because God will give you one word, one thing to do that makes absolutely no sense to anybody else. And God will do something and put his word and his power and his anointing on it, and supernatural fruitfulness will begin to happen for you. So stop looking at other folks. This is the thing that I have with the church growth movement that I've had to just say, this is ridiculous. Everybody want to do like Rick Warren, and everybody want to do like all these churches that are growing, and they got thousands of people, and just tell us what you did and we'll do it. They got before God and heard what God told them to do. Y'all want the formula for how to get what God's telling you how to do. Let me give it to you. Get on your face and get before the Lord and let the Lord talk to you, and the Lord will show you step by step what to do to produce supernatural fruitfulness. But see, the problem is, well, that's too hard, God. That ain't hard, because all of the work is up to God. It ain't up to you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. Let me tell you, some of you young people, you are wanting God to do amazing things for you. You see things happening for your friends. You see your friends getting opportunities that you wish were happening for you. And so you try to go the path your friends are going. I hear the Lord saying, stop trying to be like your friends. I got a path that I'm carving out just for you. All you got to do is come before me and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to get involved? How should I deal with this situation? And God will walk it out and do some things that are bigger and better than what he's done for your friends. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But you want to know how supernatural fruitfulness and multiplication starts? His delight is in the law of the Lord. You get a joy from being in God's word. And in his law, he meditates day and night. That word meditates means to ponder. It don't mean I sit and go, No. It means to ponder and to talk back to yourself. In the Hebrew, it almost means to preach to yourself. Yeah, I know some of y'all look at me and think I'm crazy. I'll be walking around like, oh, Jesus, you're so worthy. I'm just going to praise you. I don't know how to do it. What I'm doing is I'm preaching it back to myself. Some of y'all got to start looking crazy. You got to start preaching back to yourself. Oh, Jesus, your word says that by your stripes I'm healed. I'm going to get my healing today. I know it don't look like it, but I'm going to get my healing today. Oh, Jesus, you said that you're going to take care of all my finances. Oh, Lord, I'm just going to, I look a little crazy, but I'm going to preach it to myself. Hey, amen, you're going to provide. Amen, you're going to do it. Come on, Jesus. You need to start preaching it back to yourself. And the Bible says you need to do that day and night. Get in your word day and night. And when you do that, here's what happens. Here's where you begin to see supernatural fruitfulness. Watch this. You will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which means that you will never have a season where you are in a drought. And watch this. If you do that, it'll just bring forth fruit in its season, which means God's got a perfect time for what he's trying to produce through you. And all you got to do is hang out with him and be in his word day and night. Some of y'all are like, I can't read my Bible day and night. Just read it in the morning and throw on a tape at the end of the night. Something. But get the word of God in you. If you do this, your leaf will not wither. y'all missing this. Some of y'all feel like, I don't know how long this good thing is going to last. This passage says when you got supernatural fruitfulness and multiplication, it don't stop. It always goes on. You don't have to fear it's going to stop. Your leaf will not wither. And my favorite passage, and whatever he does shall prosper. Let me give you a word to some of y'all. Some of us think whatever he does prospers is in sections of my life. In other words, my spiritual life will prosper, but my marriage sucks. My school life will prosper, but my relationship with my friends is awful. Look, God is going to bless me financially, but you know what? I ain't going to never start my own business. Look, that doesn't say sections of things in your life shall prosper. It says whatever you do shall prosper, which tells me supernatural fruit and multiplication looks like this. Everything I touch turns to gold. That's the everyday world way view of saying it. Everything I put my hand to, anything I try, anything I seek, God, anything I look, some of you got to stop being scared of trying stuff, because if you get this passage, if you are in God's word and God meditating on his word, whatever you do is going to be blessed. Whatever you do is going to prosper. Most of us are operating with a fear of failure. In the name of Jesus, I arrest that fear of failure, and I say you are not. Look, that fear does not operate in this church and with the people who are connected with this church. We don't operate in fear. We operate in faith, and whatever we do, whatever, come on, say that, whatever I do will prosper. This is what supernatural fruitfulness looks like. But there is a problem. Why are we not seeing supernatural fruitfulness in our life? Why are we settling for less than that type of lifestyle? Because if we had that type of lifestyle, what would we be doing in the world? But you know what? Our problem is we settle. We settle, we settle, we settle. So now I want you to look at Psalm 105, 17 through 19. Joseph got a word from the Lord that he was going to have his brothers bow down to him. Joseph got a word that he was going to be fruitful and prosper. But he got sold into slavery. And the Bible says in Psalm 105, 17 through 19, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. That show don't feel like I'm going to be fruitful and multiply. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. Watch verse 19. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Joseph got a word and a vision that God had a promise for him. But until it was time for that word to come to pass, that word got tested. Bad stuff happened. He got sold into slavery. He tried to do right in slavery, and what happened? That old woman lied on him and said she was going after him and tried to chase after him. And he got thrown into prison. And then he got in prison and he was trying to do good there. And people did him wrong there. They said, if you interpret our dreams, we'll remember you. And they forgot about him. All of that time, he was tested. Some of you don't realize that you got a word from the Lord, and what's been happening is not that God has forgot the word. It's not that God doesn't want you to be supernaturally fruitful and multiply. It's just that it's not time for that word to come to pass yet, and so that word is being tested. And you sitting there going like, it ain't gonna happen. God's like, it's just being tested. That don't mean it's not gonna come to pass. That doesn't mean I didn't say you're going to have this or you're not going to get this. That just means it's being tested. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. The word God gave you is just under a test. So all this mess you going through, all the stuff you dealing with, all the situations you having to deal with, you got folks lying on you, you got folks cheating on you, you got folks hating on you, you got stuff not working out, losing jobs for no reason. That's just God saying, I'm just testing the word that I gave you that you're going to be fruitful and multiply. The word got tested. See, when God speaks a word down in your heart, you know God's spoken these words, but your eyes don't see it yet. And what you're seeing in the natural is testing what God is showing you in the spirit realm. And here's what also happens with our minds. Our minds ain't got good sense. What you mean, Pastor? I mean, your mind becomes skeptical because it can't figure out how to get what God said you're supposed to have. So your mind, as one of the rappers says, start playing tricks on you. Your mind is playing tricks on you because your mind is now in contrast to what your spirit sees. But because you're more familiar with your mind and what you think, and because this is a world where we operate by what's logical, your mind takes over and it starts to suppress what your spirit sees, which is the vision that God promised you, and you start sitting there going, well, I guess God ain't gonna work. So what happens is you start settling for less. But I've come today to tell you, don't settle for less. Don't you settle for less. I want to show you this in scripture, something that God showed to me that really messed with me. It really destroyed me. It's John 15. Let's go there. John 15, verse 1. Now, what you need to know, I'm sorry, Genesis 15, verse 1. What you need to know is that God spoke, be fruitful and multiply in Genesis 1. If you read today's daily reading and yesterday's daily reading, he told Noah like 5 times, be fruitful and multiply. I was like, why you got to tell Noah 5 times? And God was like, because I don't think he heard me. Just like I got to tell you a million times, because you definitely don't hear me when I tell you. So go be fruitful. By the way, when God tells us something like that, God puts all his resources behind the word that he's given us to enable it to come to pass so that you don't have to go try to figure out how to make it happen. You just got to trust God and obey God. And he told him, I don't know how many times in Genesis 8, 9. And then we get over to Genesis 12, and he tells Abraham a different version of be fruitful and multiply, which is you're going to be a great nation, and I'm going to make your name great. And Abraham was like, I ain't got no babies. God said, just go. By the way, some of y'all can't take a word like that, where God says go and you have no idea where you're supposed to go. Because your mind starts playing tricks on you, like, what am I going to do when I get there? How long is it going to take to get there? Am I going to have enough food? Am I have enough water? What if it's hot? What if they ain't got no electricity? God said, go. I told the Lord I repented. Straight up, I had to repent because I had told the Lord, I ain't going to these places that ain't got no electricity and no water. God was like, okay. I told the Lord I repent because if I'm really your servant and you really are my Lord, then I have to come like Isaiah and say, here I am, Lord, send me. Wherever that is, oh God, send me. Here we go. You ready for this? All right. So God had already spoke, be fruitful and multiply. God had already spoke, you're going to be a great nation. And then God comes back in Genesis 15 and speaks to Abram again. And the Bible says, Abram, by the way, his name later gets changed to Abraham, but this is the same person. Genesis 15, 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. And I was like, what does that mean? Let me just break this down for you. During those times, your children were thought to be your reward. Your inheritance was in the reward of your children. And so God was like, look here, I got your reward. Not like you did something good, I'm going to give something back to you. But I got that promise that I told you, I'm going to make it come to pass. Exceedingly great reward. I got you, Abram. Now, what you got to do, how many of y'all had God tell you, look, I'm telling you, this is not the first time, second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, but about the sixth or seventh time, God's like, I'm telling you, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. All right, this word is for those of you who God has said, I done told you I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Watch this. God gives him this word, and Abram, verse 2, first word, but, Genesis 15, 2, but, so Abram, I got you. You know what we do? But, here's what he said. Lord God, what will you give me seeing I go childless? Seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. Look here, God, I get you saying that my inheritance is you. But look here, look, I ain't got, look, you see, you ain't got no kids. Do you not see what I see, God? This is what you do. God gives you a word. I'm going to bless you with this opportunity. I'm going to bless you with this scholarship. I'm going to bless you with this job. I'm going to bless you with this spouse. Look here, God. Do you see what I see? I don't see no opportunities. I don't see nobody calling me. I don't see nobody saying, hey, girl, hey. I don't see nothing. Do you not see what I see? But here is how he starts to settle. Check this out. Just in case, because I know you said you're going to do what I do have an heir. His name's Eleazar. What'd you say? Look, I know you said I'm going to be a great nation. You're going to make me a great nation. I'm going to have all these. But it ain't working, so let me just show you what I got. Look, God, I know you said you're going to work in my marriage, but let me just show you what I got. I know you said these things are going to come out on my behalf, but let me just show you what we do and how we start to settle is we don't go after everything God says. We go after what we figure is the answer. God, I know you said you're going to bring complete healing to me, but you know what? If you could just make the pain stop at night, then I can sleep. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. God is like, if I can make it stop at night, I can make it stop all day. Why are you tripping? No, you are settling. Why? Because you can't see nothing different. The problem with why we settle is because our vision is jacked up. You have forgotten and your spirit is not seeing what God is trying to show you. Your spirit has started to try to tell you, hey, look at what God said. But your mind is like, no. What are you seeing? Some of y'all are like, it's not going to work out for me because look at how it worked for them and that didn't happen for me. You are seeing somebody else's circumstance. And you're like, well, I guess if I can't do it like that, God can't do it like that for me. God's like, come on. Stop looking with your eyes. I want to show you God's response. God is so cool. I love God. God is like, I told you you're going to operate in the supernatural. I told you you're going to be fruitful and multiply. I told you you're going to have dominion and subdue your enemies. I told you that. And you sitting there settling for just like, I'll be okay if just my one friend gets saved. But God doesn't like you to operate in the supernatural, not to operate in the supernatural, and to go by what you see. So I want to show you how Abraham didn't just do this once, but he did it again. Genesis 17. God comes back. This is after he decides. Watch this. Sarah was like, look, look, ain't nothing coming, bro. So go take one of my maidservants over here. Do what you got to do, and let's get us an heir. By the way, if you were Eleazar, you'd be like, what's wrong with me, God? What's up with that? Watch this. Sarah says, go get a maidservant. He goes and gets a maidservant. She gets pregnant. She has Ishmael. And Sarah starts to despise her because she like, you done had a baby and I can't. Looking at the circumstances, seeing. Watch this. So here comes God talking to Abraham again. I want you to notice that when you start to settle, something happens. I'm going to hold on to it because it's a little too fast. I'm going to slow it down. Genesis 17, when Abram was 17:1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, he was 99. He got the promise at 75. I didn't say this was going to be fast. Some of y'all are like, I'm too old. That don't mean it's done. Anyway, I got to get to the finish. I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. God speaking the word again. And I will make my covenant between me and you. Watch this. And you will, here it is again, multiply exceedingly. Does that sound like supernatural multiplication? Then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. Now, mind you, Abraham was in a position where he could hear God. That's why I'm telling you, you got to be praying and you got to be seeking God. You got to be reading your word. So Abraham fell on his face and God was continuing to talk to him. Y'all ever had God just overflood you with words and you just like, I don't know what to do with all this, God? Yeah, that's what's happening. Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. That means I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. And you shall be the father of many nations. And then God changes his name. He said, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall now be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations, which meant anytime people called him Abraham, they were prophesying father of many nations over him, father of many nations over him. Anytime Sarah said, hey, Abraham, come here. She was saying, father of many nations, come here. Look, God has got prophecies that he's speaking over your life, and God is trying to show you stuff. And some of y'all are like, I don't want to hear it. And God's like, I will change your name so that when people call you, they will be calling you by the prophetic word that I have for you. Watch this. Verse 6. Here it is again. I will make you exceedingly fruit. There's supernatural fruit. Exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of you. And kings shall come from you. Now he got this word and God starts telling him how he's going to do it. And then for 14 verses, God is talking about the promise. God is speaking about what he's going to do. Watch Abraham's response in verse 15. Well, it ain't even there. Abraham starts talking about his wife, Sarah. Basically, it's going to happen through your wife, Sarah. I'm going to bless her. She's going to have a son. Now watch verse 17. Abraham fell on his face and was like, and said in his heart. This means he didn't speak it out loud yet, but he said, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And then out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So then Abraham spoke to God and said, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. He was like, look here, God. I know you just said it's going to come through me and it's going to come through Sarah, but, you know, it don't look like that's working. Can't you just bless Ishmael? Can't you just do... Can't you just leave me alone and let it work out this way? Can you see how we settle? You know what Abraham was saying? It's been 24 years. I don't want to hope no more. I'm tired of getting let down. It's not just 24 years, like once a year you get let down. It's like every month for 24 years you are let down. You are disappointed. Some of y'all have been disappointed ridiculous numbers of times. And because of that, you started to settle. Stop settling for less. I don't care if they don't call you. I don't care if they don't give you an opportunity. I don't care if the doctors keep saying it's not working. Don't you settle for anything less than what God has for you. Ishmael's what I can see. I can't see what you're saying, God. So can you just bless what I see? But here's what I love about God. Look at God's response in verse 19. Nope. Come on, we ought to praise God that he tell you nope. When you try to settle, God's like, nope. Some of y'all were dating folks. If you just look back at who you dated and who you ended up with and married to, you like, praise God that he said nope. Come on, because we was going to settle for that, but God was like, nope. Come on, don't settle, because God is like, that's not what I have for you. That's not what I have for you. Genesis 15:4, going back to the first initial account, here's what God does. God spoke to Abraham there, but then Genesis 15:4, it says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. With the first time when he was like, you know what, can we just use my servant Eliezer? He's like, nope, the word of the Lord comes, and he says, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. What did he say? Nope. When you start to settle, here's what God does. He loves you so much, and he wants his word to become a reality in your life so badly that he will send a word to you to remind you of what he said so that you can hold on to that promise and so that you can get a new vision in your spirit. You are not here this morning by accident. You are here because you've been trying to settle. And God said, nope. You're not going to settle for that little job that's bringing you just enough money to get by, because I said you're going to be fruitful and multiply. You're not going to settle for less with that person you've been dating, because I got something better. You're not going to settle for a partial healing. I got a complete and full healing. You're not going to settle because I got something bigger. And the reason I'm preaching this series is because I want to expand your vision to see the bigger. I want to be that word. I believe God's got a word he's interjecting to tell you who've been trying to settle. Don't settle because I got something bigger coming for you. This ain't it. This isn't all that God has for you. And for those of you who've been in the struggle for a long time, just keep holding on. This word is for you. I believe you have to get a vision in your spirit. The eyes of your heart have to be changed. And I'm going to show you this in one passage, and then I'm going to close. It's 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Kings 6:14. An army was coming against the people of God. And they were surrounded in the hills, and they saw these horses and chariots of people who were ready to pounce on them. And the Bible says in 2 Kings 6:14, therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and they surrounded the city. Verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God arose, watch this, he was a man of God, he got up and went out. He saw this army with his natural eyes surrounding the city. I'm going to tell you what you're seeing in your circumstance. And his servant said to his master, he went back to the master and he said, alas, my master, what we gonna do, boss? Don't you ever come back to God like this? What we gonna do, Jesus? How this gonna work? Watch this. I want you to watch what the man prays for him. So he answered, do not fear. He speaks a word. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. The servant is like, look here. It's me and you. It's thousands of them. I don't know what you're talking about. It's more of us than it's them. He spoke a word. You're saying, I don't know how we're going to be fruitful and multiply. Don't worry, God will show you. You're saying, I don't know how God's going to supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. Don't worry, God's going to show you. You're saying, I don't know how by his stripes I'm healed, but God's going to show you. And here is what he prays, and it's the prayer I'm praying for you today. Verse 17, watch this. And Elisha prayed, and he said, Lord, because Elisha had a vision, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. What eyes do you think he's talking about? It's not his natural eyes. He already can see them people in the natural eyes. He said, open his spiritual eyes so that he may see. And then the Bible says, the Lord opened the eyes of the man and he saw. What did he see? And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Did magically some people just show up? No. God showed him all the angels that were around him ready to do battle and destroy the enemy on his behalf. The eyes of his heart saw something in the spirit realm, y'all not hearing me, that made what God told him possible. Some of you are only seeing the negative. We need to ask the Lord, show me, God, what's happening in the spirit realm. Some of you have been waiting and praying for God to bless you with a husband, a spouse, a child, a job, a healing. Here's the thing you need to do. Stop asking God for that because he already promised you that. What you need to start asking God for is open the eyes of my heart so I can see what's going on. Show me the block. Show me where this thing is blocked. And then here's the thing. Because I have and I'm made in your image, your word, I'm going to open my mouth because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I'm going to start speaking against that thing. And I'm going to kick that thing out of here so that then we can see your what you promised me become a reality. You're fighting stuff you can't see. So ask God to open the eyes of your heart so you can start seeing into the supernatural. You can start seeing the vision that God has for you. You can start seeing whatever's blocking you. And then I declare the supernatural fruitfulness and multiplication will begin to happen. So whatever you do, do not settle. Somebody say, don't settle. Come on, stand to your feet. I'm done. Don't settle. Can you begin to praise God and just tell him, God, I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to settle for less.